sure has heard about. And we have two people here that are sitting at mics that have questions. You can just call in. Now, how do you pronounce your last name, Greg?
McAleese.
Wait, let me get you on here. Okay. How do you pronounce it?
McAleese.
McAleese.
Yeah.
Okay, and you're the founder of Crime Stoppers.
That's right.
And we also have Richard Carter. You're an attorney?
Good morning. Yes, I'm an attorney and a retired judge and a Crime Stopper.
Get real close to that mic.
Okay, how's that?
How about a little closer? Yes, or you're going to have to chew on it.
Okay.
You know what? That mic really is bad. We'll try it. Go ahead.
Okay, yes, I'm an attorney, I'm a retired judge, and I represent Crime Stoppers.
I'm going to try to flag somebody, because that's
okay.
Not coming in right at all. So anyhow, we have two people here. If you have any questions about Crime Stoppers, give us a call. So I'm going to go, Greg, whatever gave you the idea of starting an organization?
Well, back in 1976, Albuquerque had the highest per capita crime rate in the United States. And I was working as a homicide detective, and I had an unsolved crime that I was very frustrated with, because this was a killing of a gas station attendant on a Friday night on a heavily traveled street, and I couldn't seem to develop any information from the public. And so I began to think about, well, why is it that the public is reticent to come forward with information? And I came up with two factors. One was the fact that they were apathetic, and the second was that they were afraid of retaliation from the criminals if they provided information. In those days, the police department did not have a means of being able to take anonymous information, and I felt that for those people that were afraid, if they were allowed to remain anonymous, that maybe that would be a way of getting them to come forward.
So just in those days, if I called in, yeah, I'd have to give my name.
Absolutely. The first question that's always asked is, what is your name and
where
do you live?
Is that confidential then, or could it leak out?
It could leak out.
Oh, then okay, I see your point.
Yeah. And then, of course, for those people that were apathetic, I always knew that money talked out on the streets when I was a street cop. And so, you know, having a reward would be advantageous to possibly bring people forward. And so really, based on those two premises, then that's how I started Crime Stoppers. And the idea was is that we would reenact crimes, we'd go to the crime scene and reenact the crimes for TV and write up a big article about it in the newspaper. We got tremendous media buy-in from the beginning. And we used this unsolved murder of Michael Carmen as our very first, as we called it, the crime of the week. And we did the reenactment and everything else, and within 48 hours I had the two offenders in custody. And we started getting calls about not only Michael Carmen's murder, but we got calls on all kinds of other cases, a gang rape that was 18 months old. We solved that the very first night that we were in operation. I actually had the two offenders in the Michael Carmen killing. I had them in custody the next morning. The reenactment was on the 10 o'clock news, and by about 9 o'clock the next morning, we had the two offenders.
Okay, but let's take those cases. Mm-hmm. Somebody calls in. Now, they're anonymous.
Yeah.
But how do you get a hold of the officials, probably safety or the police, and not give them the name?
Oh, well, it's easy because I never know the name. You see, what happens is that when somebody calls Crime Stoppers, they're told, don't give us your name. Okay. And so what we do is we give them a code number. The code number becomes the way of being able to track the case or identify the case. In this particular case, caller number 6.
So you don't know the name either.
Oh, I have no clue.
By number.
That's right.
Number.
So caller number 6 was coming home from a party. And he, the night that Michael Carmen was killed, he heard the blast of the shotgun that was used to kill him. But at the time, he sort of dismissed it as maybe being some firecrackers that were being thrown. This was in July of 76 when this murder occurred. And so he really dismissed it. As it turned out, he saw the getaway vehicle. And he described the getaway vehicle, and he knew where the getaway vehicle was located. And that particular tip was what we needed in order to be able to begin to piece everything.
You turned it over to the police, they went. On your word, they insisted they had to know who the person was.
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, what we did was, of course, being a detective, I'm very, very familiar with investigative procedures. what we did is once we located the vehicle, we just sat on it. We just surveilled it with a couple unmarked units until somebody got in the vehicle to move it, and at that point we came in and took them in for custody or for questioning, and we were able to break their alibi.
We're going to go to the phone here. Good morning. Hi. Yes.
No, as a matter of fact, I get to visit Kenai about once every decade, and this is my fourth trip to Kenai. So I don't. I actually don't operate the local Kenai program. That is operated by the law enforcement agencies up here in the Sedalton and Kenai area. The peninsula area, I guess, is the best way to describe it. And then you have a group of citizens who serve as the board of directors to oversee the program.
So you want to, okay, can you kind of brief it up a little bit because we're running out of time?
I think that if I had been advising the local folks, I would have certainly recommended that they meet with you and see exactly how they could work together.
One other thing, this is Richard Carter also on the program here with Crime Stoppers. I would also point out that Crime Stoppers has solved unsolved crimes that were 20, 30, 40 years old. That is to say that I don't know what the statute of limitations is on the crimes that were committed to you and your friends, but Crime Stoppers is still available. Should there be any listener out there who knows anything about this crime, they can still communicate that to Crime Stoppers here in 2008.
And something like murder, though, there is no time frame on that.
That's right.
That goes on forever.
Right.
How about somebody, is kidnapping the same way?
Most jurisdictions have kidnapping where it's no statute of limitations.
Mm-hmm. But I know years and years ago we had twins we feel kidnapped out here. We never resolved the thing. Mm-hmm. So, okay, let's take another call. Good morning. Hello. I'm not going to take another call. No, here locally, you're pretty active. You know, people know the organization, and we know some cases where things were returned, you know, stolen items and things like that. And so, do you see it this way? Are you international or national? You're in other countries too?
Oh yeah, we're in 24 countries.
Wow.
And collectively, Crime Stoppers has solved more than 1 million crimes worldwide. Wow. Yeah, we solve a major case somewhere in the world every 15 minutes.
Every
15
minutes.
Every 15 minutes.
Two cases or
something. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Yeah, it's through my brilliant investigative work.
It's almost like a phenomenon being on somebody. You need to walk around and say, okay, there's a check-off. You got a
unfortunate, but one thing to remember from the legal side of it is Crime Stoppers still has to follow all the laws, the Constitution, the statute, as far as having probable cause to issue arrest warrants and search warrants. So sometimes they'll be right there along with you. They'll pretty well know that your information is correct, but unless they can corroborate it independently to the satisfaction of a judge, they can't go forward. So we never know how much information they might have, but call it in and give us the information, please.
Yeah, and that's what I'd recommend. If you haven't called Crime Stoppers, get on the phone and give them a call.
And maybe he did, because we got cut off, but I'm going to take a break right now.
Sure.
And
sure.
We'll be right back and we can continue talking about Crime Stoppers locally. And if you have any questions, 283-5811.
Turn them around and you educate them and let them go.
Yeah.
At first I thought he was going to say after all these drugs got cut back that more people were calling into the show, so radio programs. I didn't know where he was going with that.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Yep.
You know, the first guy was...
He was naming names.
Well, he was going to tell you the total history and all the way down to the VIN number.
Yeah. And what car did you replace those with? Tell us a little bit about the last two cars. Probably will.
Yeah.
So have y'all solved those car burning cases? I gave you the information.
No, I mean, that's the thing. If we could get them to call Crime Stoppers, at least we'd be able to start the process.
Yeah.
But they're not calling Crime Stoppers.
Yeah.
And are they actually calling anybody? That's the thing.
And one guy drugs going down address. You guys down
there. Yeah, go kick the door
in.
That's what they do in Russia.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I understand we cannot see Russia from right here. So.
Yeah. Well, hang on, wait a minute now.
We're close.
Wait a minute, I'm just beginning to wonder now. The political.
Yeah. Crime Stoppers are not looking.
I'll tell you, don't ever say anything against her. Is it against her?
Oh, no. I want to be where I can see what she
sees.
That's
right.
If she was here today, I'd ask her for an autograph, and I'd have Greg take a picture of me with her.
Do you want her autograph?
Sure.
They'll
never know.
Nobody will know. That's right.
I got a picture of you together.
We'll do that.
Okay, we're back on sound off, and we're going to go right to the telephone. Good morning. We're talking about Crime Stoppers today.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you. as a retired judge, Your Honor, I can tell you that I do everything within my power to keep Crime Stoppers honest. Whether that be testimony, whether that be language contained in affidavits for warrants, they have to obey the law, because when people know it's a Crime Stoppers source, when people know it's a Crime Stoppers case coming through the system, the last thing we want to do is damage our integrity. But all we do is get the information, communicate that to law enforcement. They have to make the case. The prosecutors have to prosecute it, and the judges and juries have to handle it. We are not ultimately the finders of fact or the determiners of law, but I do share your concerns.
Well, you know, one of the interesting things, there was on A&E, they have a show that's called, I think, 48 Hours or something, which tracks particular murders in the investigation of murders. And in Miami, Florida, they had a case where the two detectives had targeted a particular suspect, and they were building a circumstantial case on the suspect. The suspect was had denied that he was involved. And all of a sudden, while these guys are getting very, very close to they had already arrested the suspect. He was in jail. All of a sudden, they got a Crime Stoppers tip that gave them a totally different identity, person as a suspect, and that turned out to be the killer. So this happens. This happens, you know, quite frequently as far as how Crime Stoppers will work. We never are sitting there trying to manipulate the information. We're just trying to take the information and then. That's right. Basically, what Crime Stoppers will do is it's the starting point for an investigation. It'll start us down a particular path, and then what we need to be able to do is to get the evidence and witnesses to corroborate the information.
Okay.
Well, of course, if you're going to corroborate the information, then that will ordinarily come from additional either witnesses or individuals who have knowledge about the crime. No, of course not.
Okay. Well, we get the police to independently corroborate through police work.
Yeah. Okay. All right, thanks.
All right, Judge.
What kind of cooperation do you get, though, from law enforcement? And once you report the information to law enforcement, do they come back to you and say, help us? Oh, they do?
Oh,
they actually, on a field event?
Oh, sure. Yeah, as a matter of fact, it's very, very common in most communities that if a major crime has occurred, then the newspapers will always include at the end of a news story, for instance, police are asking if anybody's got information about this crime to call Crime Stoppers. Mm-hmm. Anonymously, it's such and such a number. And so this happens on a regular basis. And of course, the media is a very, very important component of the Crime Stoppers success story, because they're the ones that are creating the awareness out in the community about the specific crimes that have been committed. And that awareness then generates the phones starting to ring with information from the citizenry. And so it's all part of this entire success cycle of Crime Stoppers. It begins with a lot of media cooperation, and fortunately we have great cooperation wherever we are.
What do you do, though? You say a guy calls in and I heard a noise, gives you the information, but he may be needed later to testify. How do you ask him if he wants to remain anonymous, or?
We do. In most cases, though, if they've just heard a noise, they don't want to be calling Crime Stoppers. Crime Stoppers is not something where you call for in-progress crimes.
And I was referring to the case that you gave where this guy heard a noise.
Oh, yeah, heard the sound.
Okay, now, did it ever get to the point where he had to testify?
He ended up voluntarily testifying,
okay,
yes.
You asked him at the time, otherwise if they hang up. If a call comes in, do you record the number?
Oh, no. We don't do any.
There's no way of getting back.
We never record anything. Okay. Voices aren't recorded, and we certainly would not try to use caller ID.
One of the things we don't want to do is bait and switch, and that's tell them that they can remain anonymous, then try to twist their arm and say, tell us who you are. Now, there's one little exception. I don't want people to misunderstand this, but with the advent of the new web tips that we have where people can have encrypted, coded, protected communications to Crime Stoppers through the internet and email, they can, with the programs that have the correct safeguarded system, actually have a two-way dialogue with that person where the person can go back on the internet and see if Crime Stoppers has said, okay, your information was good, can you give us a little bit more? Or can you testify? Whatever. There can be a two-way dialogue with that one narrow type of Crime Stoppers communication.
If I'm a defense attorney, though, and I know something was done that way, I'm going to want to come to you and say, hey, I want to see who you're communicating with.
That's fine, because when we don't know who we're communicating with...
But you have a record now, don't you?
No. That's the good point. We don't record
our calls. On the email type stuff.
The good part about that is all of that is encrypted, and then it's destroyed at the server.
End, I mean, it's not on your end, or does the vendor have to make sure that...
On our end, the whole system is coded so no one else can intercept it. And additionally, every few hours, that information is erased so that we don't own the records, we don't have the records, they don't exist. It's the technology that we now have developed. It's wonderful.
Yeah, so, I mean, you have to understand, we've been going 32 years, and defense attorneys have tried every trick in the book to try to penetrate the veil of secrecy of our informants. And we've never actually had a case where we've had to give up anybody because of the fact that we don't know who 90% of our callers are. Occasionally we will. Okay. It just is so rare. So that's how the strength of the program is the fact that when we say people can remain anonymous, they can remain.
And we follow the law. We go through the subpoena process. The judge is still in control.
Yeah, so you don't have the caller to go and say, man, I recognize your voice. How you doing, Sam? We'll be right back.
Thanks.
And your friend will think you've got plastic surgery.
You think that judge that called in a little extra
grind? About the conference.
Okay, sure. Yeah, I was wondering, there used to be a federal judge up here. His name was Henry something. I went to judicial college with him. Did you ever know a federal judge first name Henry? Did you ever know a federal judge up here, his first name was Henry something? Probably retired. But went to National Judicial College with him in Reno, Nevada. One year, he was a blast.
Oh, I remember Reno.
Hey, what I'm going to do, I got you there. I'm going to hit the button. Just make sure that my family is short and you have dinner tables.
And then I got a hamburger helper is a great tasting, quick and affordable.
Are going to keep doing what they do.
All right, I can share mine. I've already been on. Why don't I share mine with you?
You guys are doing great.
Okay. Yeah.
And they can hear me anytime.
Well, okay, we're back on sound off, and actually there's a conference going on here in the Keynote. Do you want to talk a little bit about that so people out there know that you guys just... I got to commend you because normally people come up to this area go fishing. You may go fishing, but you won't catch anything. So you came at a time that people know you're sincere.
Well, this is Richard, this is my first trip up to Alaska, and it's a thrill to be here. I don't care what season it is. It's wonderful up here, and I love it. But we are having a conference starting this afternoon here in the peninsula, and we're bringing in Crime Stoppers from the entire state of Alaska for this afternoon, this evening, and most of the day on Saturday. These citizens are giving up their time to meet with the founder of Crime Stoppers and myself and to... make sure that they understand Crime Stoppers the way we intended them to understand it, and that they get to ask questions, and we get to share with them anything and everything we can to help make this a better program and more successful. That's our goal.
Yeah, it's Richard, open to anybody or not?
Well,
general public come to one of these sessions or?
The answer is unfortunately probably not, but first of all, because of space limitations, and the situation is we want to train these people and make sure we have good dialogue with them, and then they would be more than happy to have people contact the local Crime Stoppers organization if they are interested in becoming a part of the board and learning, and they can come to the next conference. Now, as far as non-Crime Stoppers, we are asking the members of the news media who currently work with Crime Stoppers or who are interested in learning more about Crime Stoppers or who want to cover the conference are welcome to come and go as they please and stay as long as they like. So it is open to the public in that sense.
Real quick, do you work with Neighborhood Watch at all? Or you're totally separate. Do they work with you guys at all?
We obviously are very much a part of community policing. As a matter of fact, Crime Stoppers is really the very first program towards community policing. So there is an association in the sense that an awful lot of the same volunteers that are involved with community, with Neighborhood Watch, will also be involved, for instance, as board members on Crime Stoppers. So, you know, it's... We've had hundreds of thousands of volunteers over the years that have been associated with the board of directors. The board actually represents the community. They raise the reward funds. These reward funds all come from donations from the community.
Okay. Hey, we're at the end.
Yeah.
I want to thank both of you guys. We have Greg McLeese. Hey, right. You got that Richard Carter. That's amazing.
Thank you.
I want to thank you guys for being here. Enjoy yourself while you're here.
Will do.
Good luck in your conference. I know it'll be a good one.
Thank you.
And that's going to do it for today. This is the one we're celebrating 40 years. KSRM, so Dr. McKean, I, and Homer.
I'm Sherry Preston. The housing market